Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Anyway, all right, so we're going to start a sermon series talking about elephants in the room. Speaking of elephants in the room, how awkward was that? Okay, so I'm going to bring over the elephant here. If anyone thought we were going to do like a VBS or something, no, we're not. Don't worry. Today, at least, we've got some awesome camps this summer. But okay, so I'm going to preach with my elephant here. And before I start, actually, I do want to just mention, I think we have graffitied all the stalls in the bathroom, so you cannot escape. But there are two camps happening this summer. They're both free. One is for teenagers up to 18, and the other is for kids, I think it's 6 to 10. And these are free camps. They're both creative camps. The teenage one is going to have a little bit more adventure with music and tech. And then the kids one has art and dance and writing and music. And so if you know any child this summer that is maybe going to be just sitting at home or not knowing what to do, this is a fantastic outreach. Just invite your kids' friends or just your neighbors or whoever it is. Invite someone at the grocery store. We literally have like 250 invite cards. So just put them out there. Get them out into the community. And who knows, one child could get saved just because you invited them. It's really that simple. And you know, when a child can get saved, the whole family can get saved. So we're not just trying to throw a fun camp, even though that would be awesome. We're actually trying to change lives here. And so take a flyer at the Welcome Center and just give it to somebody this week, okay? So anyway, we're going to be talking about elephants in the room, turning the light on what's hidden in plain sight. All right, now I didn't have like a light bulb for this elephant, but I thought it was pretty cute. You actually can hook up a sprinkler to it, and then it spurts water. It's the only one I could find on Amazon. So if any, I think they're going to save this for the kids' camp, and us adults can have fun maybe that Sunday outside. Maybe next Sunday, actually. If we're doing church outside, we could all get a little wet, right? Anyway, we'll see. But this elephant, it spurts water, but it's pretty cute. But it does take up a lot of space, right? And who was a little distracted during worship? Anyone distracted by why we had an elephant? Or do you all need eyeglasses? No? Everyone's like, no, it's our church. Why? Of course there's an elephant on the stage. All right, well, that's awkward too. But, you know, I would have been distracted, right? And because there's an elephant on the stage. Have you ever walked into worship and been distracted by something in your life, right? It's like, I am trying to love Jesus, but I cannot see Jesus because I've got something in front of Jesus in my mind, in my emotions. Maybe it's physical, maybe you're in pain, whatever it is. It's like there's an elephant in the room and you're just constantly distracted by it, right? And so over the summer, I don't know how long we'll go with this. We might go right up to All In with Ryan Bastris in July, which will be phenomenal. He's going to do a men's event and a women's event during that conference at the end of July, so that'll be great. Stay tuned for that. So this might kind of take us to Ryan Bastris, but Ryan actually gave me the idea for this, and if you don't know who Ryan is, he's an incredible prophetic minister. He travels, especially the East Coast, but he also ministers in Brazil, and he does Pakistan as well. And so anyway, he moves in power, and he's kind of like a spiritual father of our church, one of the spiritual fathers. So anyway, he was like, I think you need to do a message series on elephants in the room. And I'm like, well, that's kind of awkward. What am I supposed to talk about? He's like, just talk about everything that nobody wants to talk about. And I was like, but I don't want to talk about it either. I mean, like, isn't there a reason we don't want to talk about this? So we'll see how real we get with this sermon series. But I always promise to be real, but we'll see. Listen, if there's an elephant in the room in your house, and I mean, it could be just a mental elephant or whatever it is. If there's a subject that you're like, I want to know more about this, you know our church number, right? Just text the church number. If you don't know what it is, you can get it at the welcome desk. Text what it is. I can't promise we'll preach on it on a Sunday morning, but if it's not right to preach on a Sunday morning, we can get a resource to you that will talk about it, all right? So we're going to talk about things that maybe not a lot of people like to talk about. And this was inspired by Ryan Bastris, but it was also inspired by a dream. Someone asked me, like, how do you get message series? And ironically, I get them a lot through night dreams. I'll actually hear God speaking to me in my dreams. I don't normally hear the audible voice of God when I'm walking around, but in the night I do. And I don't know what he sounds like because I'm dreaming. It's because what it is, right? But who here has ever had a dream from God, right? Maybe you don't know you've had a dream from God. Not all pizza dreams are pizza dreams, right? And so I was driving to church in my dream, and I get these dreams sometimes. They're not all from God because I'll like get up here in my dream and then I forget my entire sermon and I'm just like standing here where the mic won't work, right? But this dream, I'm driving to church and God says, what you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. He's like, what you've done in secret will be proclaimed from the roofs. You have to preach that. And I was driving to church and I had a whole nother sermon, and God was like, stop that sermon. Today you have to preach this Bible verse. Drop everything else. And in my dream, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I guess I got to preach the verse, right? So this was a couple Sundays ago that I had this dream. So we're gonna do it today, and we're going to do it through the summer. What's done in secret will be broadcasted. Now, everyone usually gets really scared when we talk about that, but it doesn't mean all the negatives that are done in secret either. It could be a positive that's done in secret, right? So don't get scared. We're not about to spend the summer talking about bad stuff. It's good too, right? So it depends on what's going on in secret. But have you ever had a secret that was broadcasted by mistake, maybe, or on purpose? Anyone graduate high school? Let's just start there. I mean, if you made it through high school, I am sure, or middle school, whatever, wherever you graduated from, I am sure that you've been betrayed by somebody. And I have a very funny story that involves two leaders in the room, and I may get it wrong slightly as I'm looking at Pastor Pat. But about 8 years ago, I was celebrating my birthday, and this was before Brian and I were dating, but Brian liked me a lot, and so he wanted to impress me, and he got me a concert in New York City with my favorite Christian artist named Josh Garrels. And if you don't know Josh Garrels, he's a poet, which is unusual. A lot of lyrics out there are kind of the same, which is great, but this guy, he actually treats his voice like a flute or like an instrument, and he's just really good, so just look him up. But anyway, I walked up the aisle to him at our wedding, recorded. But anyway, in New York City, he got me this ticket, and it was a surprise, right? But he put it on his Google Calendar, and everyone say, oh no, right? So he puts it on his Google Calendar, and we're in a pastor's meeting, and again, this was about 8 years ago, so, you know, Pastor Tom was leading the meeting or whatever, and we're checking our Google Calendars, and I look at the calendar, and I'm like, why? And I look at the church calendar. Everyone say church calendar. We no longer use a Google church calendar very much because of this. I look at the Google church calendar, and Pat looks at it, and Pat says something like, I don't remember, you can correct me, but it was something like, who's Josh Garrels? It was something along those lines, because we're looking at scheduling things in February, and I'm like, Josh Garrels? Because it says like Josh Garrels concert, right? And I'm like, oh no, I think that's for me. I don't think this is supposed to be on the public church calendar. And sure enough, Brian had somehow put his private event on the public church calendar. If you checked our website 8 years ago, it was probably inviting all of you to the Josh Garrels concert in New York City. And so my birthday that year was lived out of Luke 12:3, and it was very sad, but it was a great concert. But that surprise was just like, it was a dud. So anyway, I thought that was a good story to kind of launch us out into this message series, because what happens in secret gets broadcasted. So an elephant in the room, the definition of that saying is, if you say there is an elephant in the room, you mean that there is an obvious problem. So everyone say obvious problem. Or difficult situation that people do not want to talk about. We need to turn the light on what's happening in plain sight in our life. So for our sermon series, as we launch it, an elephant is something, I'm going to define, an elephant is something that is taking up space in our lives that Jesus died to set us free from. Okay? So that's how we're going to start out. Now, that definition may change a month in or something, but for right now, we're talking about things that take up space in our life that Jesus died to set us free from. And Ephesians 4 is going to be kind of our theme chapter for this series, again, for at least for June. So I encourage you, if you haven't read Ephesians 4 lately, or if you have, how many know you can read the same verse for like an entire year? If you've got Holy Spirit, he reads you when you read the Bible, right? The Bible reads you. So let Ephesians 4 read you this week, okay? So that's your challenge. If you get one thing from today's message, get the Bible verse, get into the chapter, read it on your own, do it with your kids, do it with your spouse, do it with a friend, do it with yourself. I don't care who you do it with, but get into Ephesians 4. It's all about unity and maturity. Everyone say unity and maturity. How many know we need some more unity and we need some more maturity going on? And if we keep looking to the world and being like, oh, they're so immature and oh, they're so divisive, Jesus is like, well, let's just point the finger back at us, at the church, and let's try to be the solution to what the world's crying out for, right? So as a church, let's step up to that, being in unity and maturity. I like what Ryan Baster says. He says, immaturity creates casualties of war. Immaturity creates casualties of war. How many know if you're not mature in the Spirit, if you're not walking in the fruits of the Spirit or the maturity of Christ, sometimes you say something or you do something or you don't do something or don't say something, and there's a casualty of war. It might be your relationships, it might be your finances, it might be your health, but maturity matters, and there's a call to that right now. So Ephesians 4:27 is where I'm going to land today, if you want to get your Bibles out, if you haven't already. Listen, if you're not bringing your Bible to church, just bring your Bible to church. If you need a Bible, we can get you a Bible. I had the joy of getting someone a Bible recently, and it was like Christmas. I loved it. Bibles are incredible. So anyway, Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give the devil a foothold. Give no opportunity to the devil. That's two different translations, okay? That word opportunity means a place, region, or seat. Everyone say seat. I see some empty seats here today, and I hope angels are sitting in them, right? We don't want to give an empty seat to the devil. Give means permit, like giving permission, right? So stop giving the enemy a seat at your table. Have you ever been at a table and like you're just sitting there and then there's all these empty seats? Have you seen Little Lord Fauntleroy? Anyone seen Little Lord Fauntleroy? I know it's a very random movie, but there's this scene at the end and there's like 30 empty seats and the grandfather's at one end and then there are 30 empty seats and then the little boy is at the other end. And I know that might sound extreme, but how many know in some of our lives, even maybe at our family table, if I don't trip over the elephant, you're sitting there and there might be some empty seats getting taken up by some things in your family that don't belong there, right? So don't give the enemy a seat in your relationships, in your mind, in your emotions. Revelations 3:20, behold, I stand, this is Jesus, I stand at the door and continually knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and restore him. And he with me. In other words, we can give Jesus a seat at our table, or we can give the devil a seat at our table. We can give Jesus an opportunity in our life, or we can give the enemy an opportunity in our life. We don't often talk about the enemy here at our church. I mean, we do, but you know, I don't do a whole sermon on the enemy. But it's good to know what you're up against, because we got to build our relationship with Jesus, but we also got to be aware of where the empty seats are at our tables in our lives, right? It's important to be aware. So we're just going to look at the elephants for just a couple seconds here. The kids literally have like, I don't know how many snakes in that room. God bless them. I can't even say the word. So we'll spend a few minutes in here. If you've got a kid in there, I'm sure they're happy for a few more minutes. So elephant fun facts. Elephant eyelashes can be 5 inches long. That's like, you try to blink with that. I see, here we go, some eyelashes. They're the only mammals that can't jump. Even when they're running, elephants always have one foot on the ground. Did you know that? Elephants are born blind. Another elephant fun fact is elephants are born 260 pounds, and they are inside their mother's womb for 22 months, I believe it is. It's the longest pregnancy on earth. I mean, maybe there's something different in fish, but like, I don't know. I'm not into animals that much, but 22 months, everyone say, God bless the mother elephant, right? Just like, they just need some love. If you ever meet one, just go throw them a baby shower, right? But when I was in Africa, we were in South Africa about, I don't know, maybe like 13 years ago or so. And we're on this safari in the middle. It was incredible, right? We're seeing giraffes that are taller than me, right? And then elephants and lions. And there were these elephants, and we were in the bushes, and suddenly they turned and they started to run at us. And we're in this open top Jeep. And I, you know, I'm just sitting in the back, kind of minding my own business, looking at the animals. And our safari guide like jammed on the gas and just zzz, right back through the bushes. And we're all like trying not to get hit by branches. Yeah, it was reversing, right? And so I would just like to tell you don't want an angry elephant in your life, but how many know there's some angry elephants in our lives, right? There might be, it might be anger. It might be addiction. It might be bitterness. It might be something from your childhood. It might be something in the present that feels like it's chasing you down and your life is in reverse because the elephant in your life, what you don't want to deal with, is chasing you down. Anybody with me there? So elephants are no joke, even though they're very cute to look up the fun facts. I kind of fell in love with elephants as I was doing this message series, which defeated the purpose of my message series, but that's all right. But we're going to learn at what they teach us today. So number one, don't entertain what Jesus died to set you free from. Don't entertain what Jesus died to set you free from. This is a word that God has been speaking to me recently, and it's kind of a strong word. It depends on how you receive it, but don't entertain what Jesus died to set you free from. African bush elephants are the largest land animals in the world. They can weigh up to 14,000 pounds. So when we say, hey, there might be a subject in your life that you don't want to deal with, we're not talking about a kitten here, right? We're not talking about a little mouse, although maybe it is the size of a mouse. But maybe your elephant is 14,000 pounds. Maybe this issue you've been facing since you were little. Maybe it's an issue that you can't see around because it's 14,000 pounds. And I want to know that we're going to get practical in this message series. You're going to walk away with biblical, practical tools. You got to walk it out, right? Sometimes Brian and I were just talking about this, about addiction, because he had an addiction, and when he got saved, the addiction left, like bam, it was just gone. But then a couple years later, it came back, and then he had to walk out the process of getting free, right? So sometimes God just says, oh, I'm going to pick up that elephant and take it out of your life. Other times he says, hey, let's walk this out, right? And so I want you to be aware that I'm not saying, oh, like, hey, after every sermon, you're just going to notice all the elephants are gone. All the issues in your life are gone. That's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying we want to strengthen our relationship with Jesus so we can walk out the deliverance. We can walk out the freedom. Jesus is a God who doesn't forsake process, right? So that's very important. So 2 Corinthians 10:5. Now I've got a couple versions of this. I want you to see which one do you like better, okay? We entertain and make room for our proud obstacles that keeps people from knowing God. We allow ourselves to have rebellious thoughts. Is that a good translation? Should I go back to the Bible store? Let's try another one. How about we ignore and passively do nothing with every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God? We ignore rebellious thoughts. See, the problem is I think some of us have been reading these translations. How about, I don't actually know which translation this is, but it's a good one. It's like the NLT, NIV, something. I should have written it down. We destroy, everyone say destroy, every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. We destroy. That word destroy means dethrone. I love that. We dethrone every obstacle that is in our lives. How many know there's one throne in our lives and King Jesus belongs on it when we get saved? But some of us have elephants sitting on our thrones. We have issues and subjects that we don't want to deal with in our lives that are sitting on the thrones of our lives. And God says, you need to dethrone every elephant, dethrone every obstacle, capture it and teach it to obey Christ. Amen? I don't know. This got me excited. Sometimes we accept elephants in the room because we think it's easier to walk around them in our personal lives, in our relationships, in our community. Anyone ever tried to walk around subjects in your relationships or in your health? It's like, oh, like, sure, we can talk about all this, but we're not going to go there, right? Anyone ever done that? Now some of us may need some, like, Christian therapy or something like that to talk about some subjects. I'm not making light of them, but God wants to walk through that process with us, right? He doesn't want us to be afraid of things in our lives. So I'm going to talk a few minutes about somebody who maybe y'all have heard the name, and I think it can sometimes get blown out of proportion in some instances, depending on maybe what church you've been to or something. But this is the story of someone in 1 Kings, and it's the story of Ahab and Jezebel, all right? And Ahab and Jezebel, if you don't know about them, you can kind of read the story. It's in 1 Kings. You'll find it there. But Ahab was an Israelite man who married a woman. It's a Sidonian woman. Her name was Jezebel, and she became involved in worshiping Baal. And it says that Ahab, I'm just going to read the scriptures here in 1 Kings, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all of the kings of Israel who were before him. How many know that is not something you want on your tombstone, right? You do not want that as your legacy. How about this? There was none, everyone say none, who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab, whose Jezebel, his wife, incited. That is bad legacy, right? Now, here's my favorite thing. The church likes to talk about Jezebel, all right? And maybe even some of you are like, oh no, we're going to talk about Jezebel. Please don't go there with me. But just follow me for just a second here. The church likes to talk about Jezebel, but what happened to Ahab, right? We always focus on the thing that looks like it's taking over, but in reality, something else first had to give in. Right? We like to focus on the thing that looks like it's taking over in our life, but something first had to give in. And so, you know, there are messages on Jezebel. I mean, I would probably not recommend you look them up. I don't know who's done them, but it's kind of like a buzzword, right? Like, oh, it's a spirit of Jezebel. Well, I would be much more concerned about a spirit of Ahab, because before Jezebel walked in that door, something else had to give in. And you know, Jezebel can represent various things. Again, I'm really not trying to get into, I'm not going to glorify her, right? But in Revelation 2:20, it talks about Jezebel, and God said, you tolerate Jezebel. So everyone say that word, tolerate. And tolerate doesn't mean like, oh, you welcomed her in and you celebrated this. No, it means you left alone. You just left her alone. And so, as a church, we're not someone who tolerates Jezebel. We're not someone who leaves elephants in the room alone. We're not someone who just kind of walks around issues that we're facing. Jesus died to set us free. He didn't die for the church to be full of a zoo of elephants, right? Jesus wants to help you actually be free for real, not be free fake. Not be artificial on the outside, but be mature, right? Thrive means to grow. Our name means to grow in Christ, but you can't grow if something's sitting on your head, right? A plant can't break through like a piece of concrete, right? It's trying to look for the sunlight. And some of us are trying to grow, but we've allowed things to sit on us that weigh us down that were never meant to weigh us down. Are you guys following? And, you know, the first recorded act of Jezebel was to cut off the prophets of the Lord. And she was known for sexual immorality and control. So when we kind of let go and we just leave elephants alone, we leave things alone in our life, it was like the first assignment was to cut off hearing God's voice. Anyone ever feel that? Like you leave something alone in your life that you know you shouldn't leave alone, and suddenly you can't hear God. And you don't know what he's doing. Anyone ever felt that? And you know, she was known for the sexual immorality and control and stuff. And so it's like, you know, if the enemy can get a foothold in your life, he tries to take over your legacy. He tries to take over what's multiplying in your life. And he tries to fuzz up how you're hearing him. Are you following me? I got to be honest with you. This is hard for me to preach. I don't normally preach this way. But we got to be real. There's a lot of real stuff happening out in this world. And I'm not glorifying anything, but we got to be aware, because we don't want to be Ahab. We don't want to leave stuff alone in our lives and then be known for someone who just tolerated things, right? I'm not saying go out there and judge people and do this. This is for you and me. I want to clarify, right? It says, like, don't point out the log in your neighbor's eye when you got a speck in yours. Please do not go out of here and be like, you got an elephant in your life, and you got it. Don't do that, right? This is for you. This is for between you and Jesus. That's what this message is about. So I'm gonna start to close here, but the second thing that's really interesting is an elephant's trunk weighs 400 pounds, and it can actually be used as a snorkel. So if you're ever out in the marsh out here and you just see something going like this, it might be a 400-pound snorkel, which sounds quite unpleasant to me. But it can pick up things as small as a grain of rice. 400 pounds picking up a grain of rice. You know what I was reminded of? I did a whole message series on the mustard seed of faith. And we're all like, yeah, I just want a mustard seed of faith. And it's like, yes, Jesus said, if you got a mustard seed of faith, you move mountains, right? Who wants some of that, right? But who wants to get rid of some of the 400-pound trunks in our lives that are trying to pick out the mustard seeds? Anyone following me? We tolerate things in our lives that then tries to pick out the faith that God has so carefully sown into our lives. And we'd rather talk about the seeds that can move mountains than the 400-pound trunks that can also take the seeds. And I'm not glorifying an elephant's trunk. If anyone just gets online during this summer, it's going to be very awkward. People are going to be like, what the heck is this church talking about, right? But I'm not glorifying the things we tolerate, but we got to highlight, we got to turn the light on to see what's there so we can get rid of it with Jesus. Are you guys following me? So why don't you stand on your feet? Has anyone ever played Smashed Fruit? Anyone know that app? It's like some kind of cell phone game. Fruit Smash? Smash Fruit? What is it? Do you know? Fruit Ninja? I don't know. There's something called Smash Fruit or Fruit Smash. I Googled it. It exists, right? We all know Google's right. How about an elephant in the room? No, I was Googling it because how many want some fruit of the spirit? Pastor Jordy has played Fruit Smash. God bless her. See, I told you, we're just going to talk very awkward this summer. I didn't need to know that, but that's okay. Anyway, fruit of the spirit, right? Who wants some patience, kindness, right? We've got that. And self-control, there's peace. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. There's a whole list, right? If you don't have it memorized, we're going to memorize it this summer. But how many know if we allow things in our lives, if we tolerate them, they can kind of smash some fruit? How many wants an elephant in the garden of your life? We're going to have some fruit smoothies in the garden, right? I don't think a pumpkin would survive a 14,000-pound elephant, right? Some of us are trying to produce fruit of the Spirit. Even on Sunday mornings, we're like, hey, I'm making it to church. Well, praise Jesus. Keep doing that, right? Look, it's great if you're on time, but just get here because there's some fruit of the Spirit to be had here when we're with each other in the Holy Spirit. But if Monday through Friday we are tolerating things that are sitting in our life that are heavy, they're smashing the fruit the Holy Spirit's trying to produce. Are you following me? So we're going to be talking not just about what smashes the fruit, because that would be a really depressing sermon series. I wouldn't come. We're not going to do that. But we're going to be also talking about the fruit of the Spirit, because how many know the more you abide in the fruit, the more you abide in the Holy Spirit, the elephants, they just got to go away, right? What we tolerate somehow suddenly becomes intolerable. It just, we can't do it, right? It's strength of spirit. God builds our spirit up so we can remove what we have tolerated. And it's a supernatural thing. It's not something you can strive for. You can't strive. If you've ever been addicted, you can't like muster up and get through, right? Sometimes God gives you a gift to do that, but it's supernatural. Some of us are in situations today and have elephants in our life that we cannot get free from in our own strength. And if you're like, well, that's the end. No, that's why Jesus had to die. If you could do it in your own strength, then you're saying, oh, Jesus, I don't need you. But that's why we're singing, God, oh God, how I need you. If that song doesn't bring you to your knees, let it bring you to your knees, because we need him to set us free from the obstacles and the situations that we try to walk around in our lives when God wants us to be free. Amen? So I had a ton more, and I will not do that. I'll save it. But just know this summer we're gonna be getting really practical, and we're gonna fall in love with Jesus all over again as a church, and we're gonna get free, and we're gonna maybe talk about a couple things that maybe we don't like to talk about, but we're gonna talk a lot more every Sunday about what we do want to talk about, like Holy Spirit fruit, and how to get closer in our relationship and practical tools on walking in the freedom of God. All right. And just as a disclosure, no, we are not going to be talking politics. I know that's the elephant that everybody thought of when I said there's an elephant in the room. Please do not go there with me. I will not go there with you. But we will talk about the Bible, right? And then you can apply that to whatever area you want to apply that to, because God cares about it all, right? I'm not saying he doesn't. But we're just going to go to the heart of the Bible and the scripture, and we're going to live it out together, all right? So Jesus, I thank you even right now. I'm sure some of us, even this morning, when I said this, there's an elephant in the room, some of us even thought maybe there was a thought of shame, or there was a thought of blame, or there was a thought of intimidation, or a thought of anxiety or fear. And God, what I love is we can come boldly before the throne of grace because you are a good Father. And even next Father's Day, I know, God, that a lot of us maybe didn't have good fathers, or we had negative experiences or even traumatic experiences of a father or the lack thereof. But God, I thank you that you are restoring our ability to be a child of God through this sermon series. God, that our identity is in you. It's not in our past. It's not in anything that's in our life. But Jesus, you're going to step by step walk us through freedom this summer together, so that we can be sozoed, we can be healed, saved, delivered together in you as the bride of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so I think we're going to stop there. I've got another part of the dream that I'm going to share next Sunday that I'm going to speak off of a little bit that I'm excited to share with you about. It had to do with the sky splitting open. Anyone ever had any of those dreams? Those are terrifying. I'm not talking about a sky splitting open too much. Don't worry. It's more what God did in me after. And I'm not saying the sky is splitting open this week either. Please don't take that. But I'm just excited to share a little bit more next Sunday. I'll finish up what I started here. Invite someone to some pancake breakfast. Come hungry. Don't come late, because I think Natalie said the pancakes will stop being served at 10:30. All right. So 10 to 10:30, pancakes outside. And if the weather's nice, we'll be out there too. If it's too hot, don't worry. We'll come in. I'm not trying to give heat stroke to anybody either. All right. So God bless you. Listen, if you don't like snakes, we have an exit on this side of the church. If anyone wants to go back to the Garden of Eden and try to rewrite history, go pick up your child. All right. All right. God bless you. Be a witness this week. And in about 15 minutes. So it's just enough time to go to the bathroom and then come right back in. It will start promptly. We have someone to watch your child that's only available 12 to 1. So we will be prompt. All right. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.